Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hail, cheers, and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Excitement reigns, Josh. This is the last time we're going to talk with our listeners before that game week one deadline. So I want this to be fun, but also we need to be strictly business, Josh, because this is now when the true game week one is my team right anxiety is peaking.
Yeah, you're right. We need to be especially fun, but especially business oriented.
Yeah.
We gotta hit especially strategic, but especially enjoyable. It's like we're going to hit all of the notes on this week's pod. The game kicks off on Friday. The Premier League kicks off with it. The Championship already kicked off this weekend. I watched a little bit of Championship. It was fun. I watched the West Brom. Who did they play?
Bournemouth.
Bournemouth on Friday. And that is always a fun moment, the first Championship match of the season, because you know, it's almost always a week before the season starts. And you're not quite invested, but it's like it gets your brain back into watching matches again.
Definitely. So the EFL kicked off, and then it was the Charity Shield on Saturday. And it's like, for the FPL addicts that we are, it's like the perfect level of methadone to put into our system to make our bodies like get us to that level where when game week one actually kicks off, where our bodies just don't suddenly explode.
Yeah, it's exactly. This is how I feel in game week in 38, because there's just the final game week of the season where there's no way to prepare yourself for 10 matches on all at the same time. Like there's no mental space you can get into where that works. So I spend those 2 hours like catatonic, it's like I can barely hold a conversation. There's just like so much happening at once.
And I threw my hat in the ring for the first time with gaffer.io, GAFFR.io, to play the EFL Championship fantasy game. So just to get that out of the way, if any Championship fans are out there, check that game out for another level of fantasy.
Because you're a Fulham supporter and you're going with the club. You dip back down with them.
Yeah, you have to support the club by playing whatever fantasy game is they're tied to. And of course, like nothing like being a Fulham supporter to kick off the season with a 1-1 draw against. Yep. And you forgot that Neil Warnock was still around. Well, he's kicking around with Middlesbrough.
Felt like every Championship team drew this weekend. And that Leicester Man City match was heading that way too, until Iheanacho, who I don't understand. Like, okay, I'm not saying that I understand Leicester better than Brendan Rodgers. Clearly I don't, right? I'm not the manager of that club. But for him to look at Jose Perez and think, yes, this is the player I prefer to Iheanacho. The things that he does are just so much better than what Iheanacho brings to the table. It's slightly confusing to me. I don't completely get it. I didn't think he had a great match either. Iheanacho comes on, and I'm sure there are things that I've just got like fantasy brain on here too much or something. But maybe there's things off the ball that Perez is doing that are really helpful. But I mean, Iheanacho comes on, wins the pen, scores the game winner. Yeah. Boom. And is he back on the bench in game week one? I don't really know.
Well, I think the things that we don't know in the preseason, you try to predict what the true season is going to bring based on minutes played. Iheanacho, what we know to be true from last season is he was a crucial player down the stretch for Leicester. And his minutes very well could be limited in the preseason because he's nursing some sort of injury or he's got some sort of abstract fitness concern. And the Charity Shield, while it's broadcast, it's into many households and a lot of people are paying attention, it's not crucial. So you're not going to risk Iheanacho just like you in the Charity Shield, just like you haven't risked him in earlier friendlies. So that's something we don't quite know, but I would guess to be true because it's kind of plain to see Ayoze Perez is just not doesn't bring the same level of attack as Iheanacho. So that's my gut feeling, is there's just the slightest injury concern. And then Brendan Rodgers says, you know what, I'm just going to give Nacho 30 minutes instead of 75 minutes today.
Yeah, I mean, I think he only got like 10, you know, it was even less than that. I mean, I think the ultimately, though, it does, and it's funny that we're talking about Iheanacho, like just at the top of the pod. I mean, this is sort of what happened this week, which is that we did an entire podcast dedicated to forwards. And I still hold that that podcast works well. And the reason why it works well is because, first of all, we reviewed and discussed like 30 different forwards, right? So even if some chaos happened this week and some of the players like Watkins have to be looked at through a different lens, the point of that podcast was, don't just think about game week one when you start planning your team and thinking about forwards. You have to be ready to pivot when things don't go your way, right? So we talked about Rodrigo a lot in that podcast. We talked about Chris Wood randomly. He wasn't even like supposed to be part of them. We talked about him more than any other player somehow in that podcast. You know, a lot of different people got got discussed in that pod. And I think we, as we saw this week with, and we're going to get to it in just a second here, as we saw with Ings and now Lukaku, things are changing very rapidly. The transfer window was pretty slow, and now it's cranked up to sort of max speed all of a sudden.
Josh, I'm recording this episode standing up. I'm virtually always sitting down, but I feel like there's so much going on, particularly in the transfer market, that if I sit down for a moment, I'm going to lose myself. So I'm standing up. I'm ready to work here.
All right. So let's get, first of all, let's just introduce the theme of this week's episode. FPL is back, building your final squad ahead of game week one. So we'll talk a little bit about game week one, which again kicks off on Friday. We'll talk about final decisions. We're going to reveal our squads as of today. Of course, everything could change. Everything, you know, things could change within an hour. There's a lot of, you know, Son keeps scoring goals, and now I have to, like, I feel like I've got a Heung-min Son size problem that I may have to consider, but we'll table that until we get to our team reveal. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to reveal, we're going to discuss final decisions that we both need to make for our squads, answer a bunch of listener questions about, you know, about what decisions they're dealing with. Talk about some big picture stuff, just some strategic things that you want to think about going into the season. And that's it. So before we get into the team reveals, though, three pieces of transfer news that I think we should discuss. Jack Grealish, Danny Ings, Romelu Lukaku. Yeah. And the first question here comes from Mike DiPietro. He says, are very recent signings, Grealish, Lukaku, Sancho, et cetera, just a stay away at game week one, given the risk of low minutes? Or do you buy the, they didn't pay all this money for them to ride the bench, end quote, narrative, and feel good with them in your game week one squad?
Yeah, I think this works best with Jack Grealish because it's a record fee for an English player within the Premier League. You've asked this question a lot yourself, Josh. Why would City pay that much money for Grealish to sit on the bench? Well, I think £100 million for a bunch of oil barons is a slightly
barons. They're like they're a nation, right?
Yes, for a nation state. Yeah, and I think the way this legitimately works, particularly if you have a manager like Pep Guardiola, is okay. The business office wrote the check, paid the money. Grealish is then handed over as a player to Pep, and Pep is a level of manager where he's like, great, I'm going to do whatever it is I want to do with Jack Grealish. That's what you pay me for. And the expectation that then Pep is going to have some sort of pressure to play Jack week in, week out because of this money spent, or he himself is going to feel obliged because he owes it to the club. What we know about Pep is he has very specific ideas match by match by match. So I am a little scared about the Grealish rotation. Now, I think this is why I have always loved, and so many of us have loved Kevin De Bruyne as a City fantasy asset, is because he seems to be one of those players that rises above that rotation. He's so important to the squad, and he's, you know, when he's fit, he generally plays. So maybe Grealish becomes a KDB type of asset for Pep, but kind of going with the theme of this question is we don't know. The answer is we don't know. Therefore, I think that it's a mild stay away going into game week one.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am too. I could maybe talk myself into Grealish, to be honest, and it would be less about game week one and more about game week two. where Man City are home to Norwich. So the question then is, do you bring in a player that you sort of, you kind of pre-bank a transfer, you know, like the idea is that you're going to go with Grealish in Game Week 2. The other way to think about this would be to just, because KDB is still nursing an injury, you could just go with Gundogan, right, who is 0.5 million cheaper than KDB. I would say a near certainty to start the first two matches of the season.
With his beautiful scoop neck.
Yeah, with that beautiful, I know that you. I was admiring their kits, and you were saying that you thought the collar was too big.
Yeah.
Which I think is true. It actually reminds me of the one time I saw Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords. I saw him in the streets in Brooklyn, yeah. And he had a scoop neck that was so big it actually hit both of his both of his shoulders. It was a real, like, very manly move. You know, it was a real. Anyway, I think Lukaku, I don't know, does he start Game Week 1? I mean, he hasn't even come to London yet, right? There may be some kind of, there may be some moves that need to, or maybe he's, I think he was doing like a physical in Belgium or something like that. There could be some quarantine restrictions in place as well. So yeah. I think it's very unlikely he plays in Game Week 1. By Game Week 2, sure. I think that's possible. I mean, he hasn't made a price yet in FPL. So I would be reluctant to hit for him. And Sancho hasn't even gone back to training. He was supposed to come back last Friday. Now he's scheduled to arrive. I think he was either today or tomorrow. So he hasn't even been training with Man United yet. And I really wanted to have him in my squad, but I just cannot bring a player into my FPL team when they haven't played a minute of training and the game starts in 5 days. That's just too soon for me.
One quick note on Lukaku too is Chelsea spent all of last season playing without a true recognized number nine,
right?
Especially under Tuchel. So not only does Lukaku have to get up to speed, is the entire team has to reorient their tactics, the way they play on the pitch,
yeah,
with a player like Lukaku that they haven't had in more than a year. So,
yeah.
And these top four clubs, I think specifically you're talking about City and Chelsea, their goals are so long term. Like their biggest matches aren't going to be happening for like more than 6 months from now, when they're getting into the knockout rounds of the Champions League and jostling around for first, second, third, and fourth at the top of the Premier League table. So I think that they're more inclined to let's just easy does it.
Yeah.
As we start the Premier League, no sense in freaking out and forcing the issue, because they know they'll still be there in the mix when it really matters toward the end of the season.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's true. I think what makes it tricky with Chelsea too, just in the like immediate short term, is that they play in the Super Cup on Wednesday evening, and that, you know, and thank you to our Blue Wire partners, London is Blue, for having me on this week, and I went on there and did a little you know, kind of complete idiot's guide to the fantasy Premier League game.
Emphasis like total, on the idiot, Josh.
Well, yeah, that was me, not them. but just like the basics of the fantasy game. And it was fun to go on there and talk a little bit. But I did ask about the Super Cup, and they feel like Tuchel is going to put out a pretty strong team for that match, which, just given how much he rotates already, immediately makes that Saturday match a little nerve wracking. And so just no one wants to go into the first match of the season not really knowing if a player on your team is going to start. We've all been there before. We've all fallen into that trap, and it's not fun. So, and especially the way my team is shaping, and we'll talk about this when we do the team reveals in a minute. I'm looking at a pretty weak bench, and, you know, it's a lot of players that I want are extremely expensive. So I am not going to have a ton of bench depth. And so there is a little bit of a premium that I'm putting on safe, reliable starters right now. The final player is Danny Ings, and I love him. Scored today in a friendly. Shock move to Villa, as far as I know. I mean, I hadn't seen that rumored anywhere. It came out of nowhere. And it was like, not only was it like, it wasn't rumored, it was like, it was just done. It was like, suddenly it was like, oh, you know, Ings is here. He's signing. He'll be at training tomorrow. It was like the fastest. Have you ever seen a fairly big transfer? I mean, 25 million or something like that. I mean, I can't remember a transfer ever coming together that quickly.
Yeah, it was sort of like he was ready to go right out of the box, like an Apple product or something. Like, doesn't even come with just an instruction booklet.
Yeah, exactly. And they scored today for them. So he's a good. Unfortunately, Buendia may have a slight injury now, which just broke this morning, which kind of I actually had as of last night, I had Buendia in my squad, and now I'm like, I don't know what to do there. So So that's what's happening. Lots of, I mean, you know, some big dominoes. The Kane one, I mean, at this point, it looks like at the very least, he's not going to move to Man City until a week from now and after they play in game week one. So just table Kane completely. He's back from Florida. He's doing 5 days of quarantine, apparently. So he won't even be
the Florida five.
The Florida five. So he won't even be with the squad until, I guess, Friday or something like that. So, I mean, you know, I mean, he's the kind of person who I could see does not train at all and just immediately starting.
Definitely.
With no training. But I think it's likely that it's just too risky. And so I'm not really thinking about Kane at all very seriously at the moment. All right. So let's get, we're going to do our team reveals in a second here. Just a couple quick notes. One is we have a $1,000 prize for the Super League and time is short for you to be eligible for that. Right. So it is courtesy of our friends at Fantasy Football Hub. You have to simply register on their site as a free or paying member right prior to the season. Mm-hmm. Our league code, you can join on alwaystreeting.com, or if you want to write this down, I've got a pen handy. Mm-hmm. It's a 2BNF4U. Right. That is the that's U. That's the letter U at the end there. Mm-hmm. And you might think to yourself, Josh, there are more than 20,000, close to 25,000 managers in the Always Treating Super League. How am I possibly going to win this prize? Aha, but Brandon, not all of them are going to be subscribers to the Fantasy Football
That's
Hub.
So true.
Okay. Yeah. It's like 1/25th of them or something like that. So you have a much smaller number of people that you have to beat. So just register on that site just to get yourself covered. You've got to be registered before the season kicks off. So make sure you go ahead and do that. And obviously make sure you're joining our league as well.
I love the idea of me finishing the season ranked 24,682 and thinking I've blown it. I do know that the Fantasy Football Hub is much stronger than that. They will definitely have some top managers as members of the season.
And again, free or paying number. You don't have to actually spend any money to do that, to be eligible for a $1,000 prize. Patreon, a couple quick notes. First thing first, which is that this Tuesday, we have a supporter Zoom chat. Okay. I know some people do that YouTube thing, Brandon. We want a private Zoom conversation. We're doing that on Tuesday. We're doing it together in person, which I'm pretty excited about.
Two always cheating heads in one Zoom window. It's going to be insane.
Exactly. I hadn't thought about that. We'll both bring computers and sit in different chairs. We'll see how we work that out. So we're doing that at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday. That would be 10:30 p.m. London time. I assume that's like 4 a.m. In New Zealand. I don't really know, but like it's sort of the best we could figure out. We wanted to make sure that people in America and in Europe would be able to join in this. I know it's a little bit later.
They're all farmers in New Zealand, right, Josh? So they're probably up anyway around 4:30.
Exactly. They'll be up when the rooster crows. So if you want to take part in that, if you want to become a Patreon supporter and support the cheaters, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Extra podcasts are back. We've already done four. In addition to all the pods we've done on the main feed, we've done four additional pods already for our Patreon supporters. You can go and listen to those. We have a Manager of the Month award that kicks off in August. So if you want to be part of that, make sure you join this month. And we're giving away a custom brand new Always Cheating t-shirt. I actually was planning to wear it for this recording, Brandon, but then I did that thing where I stuck it in the dresser and it came out and it was like incredibly wrinkled.
Okay.
You know, and I forgot to like hang it in the shower. You know that, you know, the shower sure. trick, you know, I didn't
absolutely.
Want to
absolutely it's the poor man steamer.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone at the Volkswagen and producer tiers gets that shirt just as part of their membership. So Brandon, we got a bunch of new patrons this week. Do you want to give them a quick thank you?
Yeah, big thanks. At the producer tier, thanks to Todd Byerly, Alper Paxoy, Martin Opseth, Lee Hickman, and Velger Payson Kruger. At the Volkswagen tier, thanks to John Craig and Thomas Tisloff. Lord Sorloff patrons, thanks to Chris Tongi, Chris Donnelly, Nick Kicks. That is a rock and roll name if I ever heard one. Leo, welcome back to the fold, Leo. Glenn Clinton, Andon Espith, Axel, Christian Schultz, Nick A, Joe Fuller, Joseph Craven, Nikki P, and FPL Wannabe. And at the lovely Pookie tier, thank you to the one and only FPL General. Also, Gabe Castellanos, welcome back, Harry. Carolou, Albert Gundmanson, and Mark Lawson. Thanks to everyone. Again, that's patreon.com/alwayscheating.
All right, we're going to take a break and do our team reveals after the break. All right, we're back. Game week one kicks off on Friday. Brandon, I think we should just jump right into the big news here, which is how does your squad look right now? Let's do our team reveals as of Sunday. This is okay. Just the Sunday. This is very specific. Okay, how does your team look on Sunday, August 8th at 12:52 p.m. Eastern time?
Yeah. And you've already mentioned something that's going to change in my current draft. So we'll be sure to highlight that. And yeah, I agree. I'm feeling really good about my draft at the moment, bar two or three players. And then there's one position in the midfield where I have a pricing issue. Mm-hmm. And so then we'll see, is there a massive ripple effect through the rest of my squad?
Right. Your team actually costs $103 million right now.
yeah, exactly. Now, I've got a locked-in squad with zero in the bank. Thank you to Stryker, who I mentioned in a moment. So let's start in the back line with my goalkeepers. I have the standard Watford bulletproof rotation of Bachmann and Ben Foster. For the longest time, I was trying to stick with Melier at Leeds. And ultimately, I just decided, let's focus on the Leeds attack. I'm going to save 0.5 here and spread it elsewhere in my midfield and striker lineup. Defense is, I guess the word would be imbalanced. I've got two heavy hitters and then a bunch of four or five guys.
Yep.
Starting with Diaz, who it just like roll on with the Man City defense. Apparently City forgot how to attack based on evidence from the Champions League final and the Community Shield. So let's see what happens there. But I have no doubt that they're going to log, roughly 20 clean sheets this season. So it's Diaz and Trent Alexander-Arnold, which like the Liverpool fixtures to start the season are absolutely undeniable. And we don't really have any fitness concerns with the major players at Liverpool. So the 4.5 guys I have, I've got Veltman at Brighton starting in game week one. And on the bench, I've got Ben White also at 4.5, made his move from Brighton to Arsenal. And the unpronounceable 4.0 defender at Norwich, Andrew Omabamadeli. So
not bad.
Yeah, not bad on the pronunciation there. So I guess he's 4.0. It's always like inescapable. You're always going to end up with a 4.0 defender, and then it's just a roll of the dice.
I know. I mean, I've got him too. I'll be honest. I got a little seduced by the goodness sakes, the Leicester defenders.
Fofana.
Yeah. I mean, Fofana unfortunately now is injured. Daniel Amardi.
I gotcha. Right. Is he 4.0?
He is 4.0. Okay. Yeah. But there's just so much talk that Leicester basically came out and admitted that they are looking to get someone in right away. Okay. And Johnny Evans is also expected to be back soon too.
Yeah.
So it just seems a little, I don't know how soon. Yeah. Johnny Evans is back September 11th. So I never forget.
Auspicious day.
Yeah. Auspicious day. 20th anniversary. I think that Amardi feels like one of those players you'd bring in and then you'd kind of immediately be like, I've got this dead spot in my team. I mean, who knows about Oma Bamadeli? I mean, it's not like we're,
if you're going to have 8 weeks ahead with him. If you're going to have a dead spot anywhere, it may as well be in your fifth defensive spot. It's usually earmarked as the dead spot anyway.
Yeah.
Quickly on the midfield, not too many huge surprises here. Salah already with the armband for game week one. And I spoke to you on Thursday night with our Patreons, and I thought this spot was for Sadio Mane, but I have since made the switch back to Bruno Fernandes. So I've got Salah and Bruno, Rafinha and Buendia. Buendia, as you mentioned, Josh, with that injury concern, maybe he needs to be switched out before game week one. And then on the bench, I've got the one and only Brownhill, Josh Brownhill from Burnley.
Yeah.
And this is going to be I don't think you really need to be too worried about if you're playing a 3-4-3 like I have my team set up as. Don't spend too much time saying, do I need Brownhill or
Basuma?
Yeah. Or Basuma or shoot, who's the guy? Billy Gilmore. Just kind of have fun with it.
Yep.
So that's the midfield. I have said many times that I feel the need going into the start of the season to have a midfielder in the 8 to 9 million bracket, the Sancho Havertz bracket. And I can't quite figure out how to make it work without corrupting how I'm thinking about my defense and my forward line. Yeah. So the Buendia being a little bit of a question mark is opening up that Pandora's box for me again. So, you know, yeah. I don't think Sancho is it, but I'm just, in terms of flexibility, I don't want to be in a position where I feel like I have to turn Bruno into a 9 million. I kind of want to keep those two premium slots.
I'm with you. I mean, I think the problem is because I think that Son or Mahrez would be two players who would do that for you, right? They would sort of give you that. You could move up and down, you know, pretty easily with either one of those two players. I mean, the problem for me is that sort of every way that I look at it, I end up in a position where I really need a 5.5 million forward, you know, and I'm really not finding anyone who really works out. I think if you can get up to 6 million, then I think Timo Pukki is acceptable. You know, he's maybe not ideal, but he is acceptable. So I think that, you know, because, I mean, I'll talk about this when we get to my team in a second. But I think that that's really the problem is if you want to figure out how to get that really premium, that third premium midfielder, right, in addition to Salah and Bruno, you really have to sacrifice up front. I just don't think, even if you downgrade Trent to Robertson or something, it doesn't quite free up enough money to make it work. So, all right. Anyway, so what's your forward line then?
Yeah. So I think it's just as you're saying. I have refused to make any true compromises with my front three, and I've got Patrick Bamford, Danny Ings, and Ivan Toney. And some talk about the injury for Ivan Toney. He had a complaint about his ankle. The latest quote from Thomas Frank at Brentford is, "I expect Toney back soon. I don't think that almost anything can keep him out of the game on Friday night against Arsenal. I'm sure he'll be available and ready to play." So no real concerns about the injury to Toney. It's just kind of like looking at these three forwards, Toney, Ings, Bamford. They're all huge pros, very few cons for them. But if I'm going to try and do some surgery and bring in a third premium, semi-premium midfielder, one of these guys is going to have to go. I would consider downgrading Ings back down to Ollie Watkins to save 0.5. But you know, as I've sort of labeled Ings throughout the preseason, this guy is just probably the most elite finisher available in the game, apart from Harry Kane, who's just not on the board right now. So that's the squad. What do you think, Josh?
I like it. I mean, it's actually very similar to mine. I think we have maybe four or five different players at the moment. The big debate for me, and the thing that I'm still kicking around back and forth a little bit, and this actually goes to a question that we got from Boston Prof. He says, "Remind us again of the downside to a 3-5-2 with a cheapy third striker." And the big debate for me is if do I go 3-4-3 or 3-5-2? With my formation. And my thinking, okay, right now I'm in a 3-4-3 like you. And so our teams are actually very similar. And I think I'm still trying to figure out a way to do a 3-5-2. And the reasoning, but what's holding me back is I do not like to have a 4.5 million striker. And this is something we've talked about many times before on the podcast, but I find that ultimately I want to have another goal scorer in my squad. And it just, I feel like inevitably that player that's in that slot does not deliver for you enough. They come off the bench often enough. If you're going to bring in Man City players, then you really need to have at least one reliable bench option. And if you have 4.5 million forward, it basically means you have nobody, right? Yeah. Because no one in that bracket's going to play.
Yeah. And if you compare the 4.5 bracket for forwards to the 4.5 bracket for midfielders, at least with midfielders, there are three or four that we just rattled off a couple of minutes ago that you at least know are going to get 90 minutes. Yep. Whereas usually the 4.5 striker options, you know, maybe they're nailed on a couple weeks out of the season because of injury, but generally they are, as you said, Josh, just like non-assets.
Yeah. And so you can sort of find yourself in a trap, right? You've got Oma Bamadeli, maybe you bring in a Marty and then you bring in a 4.5 million defender. And suddenly if a single player goes down or gets injured or has any problems, you're just completely stuck. So for me, I think Timu Pukki was in a draft that I had last night, and I have since removed him and gone back to a 3-4-3. So let me just, I'll talk through my team and then we can talk about what's, you know, what's similar, what's different. So, I have gone back to Sanchez, from Brighton as my starting keeper. partially because I, you know, now that Dunk is back and starting, I think that that Dunk, Webster, Veltman back line, pretty solid, pretty similar to what they had last spring. It's unfortunate that they've had a couple of injuries, and it's like made things a little more worrisome, but I think things have stabilized enough now. There was a little worry about Dunk for a while, but now that he's back and starting, I think I feel a little more safe with that Brighton team. So I've got Sanchez, and then I have Steele as my backup keeper. I mean, maybe I change that to Ben Foster. Ben Foster worries me a little bit because I could see him getting sold a lot on wild cards, and suddenly he turns into like a 3.8 million.
Good point. That is a good point. It's a player that you're never going to move, the backup goalkeeper. Yeah. And if he loses value, it just becomes annoying when you ultimately play the wild card and you've lost 0.1 or 0.2.
He ends up becoming like your keeper for 38 weeks because you just never want to, you know, deal with that lost 0.2. So I've got Sanchez, and then my back line, similar to yours in some ways, I've got Soufal, Trent Alexander-Arnold, and Luke Shaw. I have to say, I think Trent versus Rabo is much more of a debate than people are making out to be. And in fact, if I could possibly end up having Trent and Rabo back there because
big at the back.
Yeah, it's and then Soufal will probably be sacrificed, possibly even Shaw for that matter. And I would just have those two and then a bunch of 4.5 million. Defenders, because I mean those two would just offer so much. When you look at Liverpool's start, Norwich, Burnley, Chelsea, Leeds, Palace, Brentford. I mean it's a very strong start. Even that Chelsea match, I think, in game week three, I think that you know that could be a I think there's a clean sheet opportunity there for them.
It's a good reminder to me that I think you drop Trent into your draft immediately. He's just like an assumed, and then Salah. Yeah. And then most FPL managers will have this debate of, do I go for a third Liverpool FPL asset in the attack?
Right.
Do I get Mane? Do I get Jota? And forget that you have the option to just get two Liverpool defenders and Salah. So and just as you're saying, with the fixtures being what they are, I think we've often said in the preseason, triple Liverpool. I know. So don't forget about that.
And I only have two right now, so I'm not even like adhering to my own credo.
Yeah, same.
And then I've got Veltman and Oma Badamelli in the back line. So I'm actually doubled up with Brighton, but I just kind of don't really know what to do with those 4.5 million defenders. Yeah. You know, Fofana going down had a surprisingly large kind of cascading effect on my team.
Yeah.
And so I've gone for Soufal just because I think he's at a great price. Newcastle have a nice run of fixtures to start the season. And
West
so
West Ham, you mean, not Newcastle?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. They play Newcastle. Yeah. Game week one. That's what we say that, but yeah, West Ham have a nice run to start the season. And I like him. And then looking at my midfield, again, pretty similar to yours, at least with those big three, Rafinha, Fernandez, and Salah. Rafinha, again, I'm starting to wonder if he falls into that category of player that has been so automatic for so long. And maybe I just look at Sarr, you know, who's 0.5 million cheaper, has a similarly good run of fixtures.
Okay.
It's like, it's that value play thing where you're just like, well, Rafinha is such good value. I've got to have him.
Are you trying to be too clever here, Josh?
Well, maybe. I mean, he hasn't moved my team yet, so, and he's in it right now, and I'm talking about him on our Game Week 1 preview podcast. So I'm very pro Rafinha for sure, but he hasn't. I don't know. He just hasn't been like spectacular in preseason, and that's and a lot of other players have. And Sarr's looked really good too. But the problem with having Sarr is I just like Watford just seem like a team where I'm not totally sure they're going to score like any goals this year. And it's somehow they have 12 forwards in FPL right now listed. And I'm not sure I trust any of them to score a goal.
Yeah. And you think Watford, what they excelled at during the latter half of the season was defensive stability. And that is what is so important for promoted teams and survival is keeping clean sheets, having a stout defense. You just look at what Fulham had to try to pull off last season.
Yeah.
Shifted all their attention to their defense and it almost worked. So I don't think that Watford are going to set out in the first half of the season to try and figure out how they're going to score goals. It will just be totally establishing their defensive stability in the new division.
Yeah, I exactly. I mean, I think that they could and just hope they can eke out a couple 1-0s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, but, you know, it could be that Sarr is, I mean, if they're going to score goals, he's probably going to be involved. And so they're sort of, you know, it's sort of in that Chris Wood category where like, well, if anyone's going to get a goal on this team, it's going to be this player, or at least they're going to be involved, you know, picking up an assist or something. So Rafinha, Fernandes, Salah, and then I have Mason Greenwood as my fourth midfielder. And I have to say, in almost every iteration of my team over the last few weeks, Mason Greenwood has remained in that squad. I'm very pro Greenwood. I just really think that he's been with the team all preseason. He's been, you know, just has looked good in all of these preseason matches. The way things have shaken out with Sancho coming late and Cavani coming back late, and Rashford undergoing surgery. Mm-hmm. There's just no way that Greenwood doesn't start some of these early matches. So
this is not Daniel James's team now, Josh.
Yeah. The player that I would actually like to swap out would be, yeah, I mean, Daniel James, like, I guess he's probably going to, he might even start game week one. I don't know. But you know, the Fernandes is the one player that I have to admit, I try not to get too caught up in what players' ownership percentages are. And like Luke Shaw, for example, I have Luke Shaw on my team right now because I just like Man United's early run of fixtures. I think that he offers attacking threat, and he seems like a pretty safe pick. And so that's why he's in my squad. It's not because his ownership is so high. But in Bruno's case, it kind of is, because yeah. Bruno he's got high ownership and he's going to be captained by a lot of people, and it just could really hurt your, I don't know. You could just find yourself really in a hole early if you don't have a player like Bruno who, you know, once Sancho joins, I could definitely see myself moving from him because Bruno is just so expensive. And for someone who's going to be playing behind the attackers, it's really a lot of money. I mean, you really need like KDB levels of, which to Bruno's credit, he has done, although he really did fade at the end of last season, which is kind of what we saw the year before as well. I mean, he just gets such, you know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer just uses him so much.
He flogs him, Jack.
Yeah, he flogs him. He does. And Bruno wants to do it. But you know, it feels like he needs to be like kept in a little more check.
Yeah.
So then my front line, I've got Ings, Antonio, and Tony. Antonio was kind of a funny one because when we did our forward pod last week, I was a little less high on him. But it's almost like he just fits the spot is really what happens right now. I mean, I was really high on Watkins. And once Ings joined, I just felt like I want, much like you, it sounds like, I wanted that 0.5 million extra. And I really liked Iheanacho, but now that Iheanacho is not, I can't trust him to start. I'm sort of defaulting to Antonio here as kind of the best 7.5 million. So I have to say, this is one of the players that I am probably, it's not that I don't like Antonio, but I find him to be kind of stressful to own in fantasy, right? He's just a walking injury risk kind of at all times.
Sure. Ings is.
Just as Danny Ings. I know. God. And Tony has like a little injury right now too. So I have three forwards, none of whom could play in game week one if things didn't work right. So this is why things could change a lot. I would love for Rodgers to come out and say, Iheanacho is starting this weekend. Like, just, I don't know why he would say that, but I would love for him to come out and say that because I would probably move Antonio to Iheanacho in that case. As it is, this is what I've got. I think Tony, Rafinha, Trent, those are the kind of the three players that are all in that, like, have been in my squad since I first put it together.
Yeah.
And part of me starts to wonder if I've just defaulted to them a little too much. I still think that Antonio at 6.5 million just offers good value. And just, I want to see him in training this week, right? Because he missed a friendly yesterday. So as long as he trains this week, I still feel like, first home match for Brentford in 75 years. People are just going to be not for, of, that, of course, not their first home match, the first home match in the first division, I think, since 1947. So 74 years.
Not since they were celebrating victory over Japan Day.
Exactly. It's been a big moment. So since VJ Day. So it's a big day for Tony.
Now, let me ask you this, Josh. Now, we've gone through both of our teams and there's one glaring omission. I mean, there may be multiple that I'm not thinking of, but we picked Manchester City in one of our preview pods to top the league at the end of the season. And neither of us have a single City player. Yeah. Well, actually, I have Ruben Diaz in my defense, but we don't have a single City attacker.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm right, and I'll see if you agree with me. It's because City at this stage offer like zero FPL value. Yeah. They have good players. They have good players who will probably return, but they've got big issues with rotation concerns and the fact that they're so expensive. So I think that brings us to Riyad Mahrez, who you had mentioned earlier. But still, City just doesn't feel worth the risk going into game week one.
I'm really going back and forth. I mean, Gundogan, I think I could fit in maybe, Riyad Mahrez, I don't know how I'd do it. I would just have to go without Bruno. And for the reason
Mahrez did not impress me in the Community Shield. He was of all sorts. He decided he was going to do it all on his own whenever he got the ball, which was super annoying.
It annoys Pep too, which is why he only gets like 20 starts a season in the Premier League.
Yeah, but they just looked like a total mess, and Leicester kind of had their way to a degree with them.
If anything, my feeling coming out of that match was that I wanted Son instead of one of the Man City midfielders. I mean, they play on Sunday. It's the featured match at home. Son has been scoring in almost all of these preseason. He scored again today, right, against Arsenal. I mean, he's just been complete fire all preseason. And I just, when I look through my squad, and I do want to place an emphasis on all of the players who have had an entire preseason to train with their clubs. I just think that that's a, and again, that's why three Liverpool makes a lot of sense. And, you know, you talk about Man City, I'm kind of with you. I mean, Diogo Jota is the other player who neither of us have in our squad right now. And maybe you turn Buendia into Jota. I mean, you'd have to find a million to do that. But
yeah,
I think that would make some sense. Right? I mean, you could move Diaz to Soufal, right? And that would do it.
And most Liverpool supporters would tell you that Jota is definitely going to be playing through the middle with flanked by Salah and Mane, and Firmino was probably just a bit part player this season. So it feels like a safe pick. It's funny that he was sort of locked into my earliest tinkers, Jota was, and now he's far away from my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the Firmino thing, you know, just that feeling like I don't know if I want to trust this player. I mean, he probably starts at least 3 out of 5 matches.
Yeah.
Does he start, you know, does he start more than that? I don't know. You know, by the way, Virgil van Dijk came on. Actually started today, played 72 minutes for Liverpool in today's match. So this is real time, Brendan. I'm pulling this up as we go here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Van Dijk and Tim Ream back in the same weekend. Just incredible scenes and center back pairings across the country.
Jota also scored in today's friendly, by the way. So maybe I just tear up my whole team, drop Bruno, go Son and Jota. I don't know. But right now I like the way this feels. And again, this is just a classic. This is the problem that everyone is going to have this week, which is that you can only put 15 total players into your team. This is not like a draft situation where in some ways you're sort of, you get to kind of throw up your hands like, hey, I couldn't draft him. Someone got him first. This is a situation where in theory, you could have every single player you want if you can solve the puzzle. And you just have to accept that there are going to be 10 to 15 players that you just can't get. And you just have to strive for a little bit of balance. I find that a hugely imbalanced squad will really hurt you in the long run. And I mean, you can only get so imbalanced anyway. I mean, right? I have a squad that has a nice balance that I like right now, but I still have two 4.5 million midfielder and defender and a 4 million defender and a 4 million non-starting goalkeeper. So I'm already kind of maxed out in terms of just maximizing everything on the pitch. I have no money in the bank either. So I think it's useful to go through our squad like that. And I think just to follow up with this, we have a few questions, unanswered squad questions that I want to read through. I think it's about 5 questions that we'll go through right now. First one is from That Joe Guy. And he says, what unanswered questions do you have about your own teams going into the opening game week? So what do you think is the biggest, you look at your squad right now, what do you feel like, I just really wish I could rearrange my team to bring them in. I feel like I just talked about this with myself. How are you feeling with your own team?
Yeah, it's my midfield, as I was alluding to. I look at my defense and I'm like, well, it's going to be kind of hard to screw up my defense. There will surely be one or two players after game weeks 1 and 2 where I'm like, I need them and I need to fix that. But on the whole, defense seems fine. I'm not worried about it. Strikers up front, we did a whole episode on this. There are so many to choose from. So it's down to who will you choose.
Yep.
My biggest issue is my midfield. And it's just, as I was discussing, I feel like I'm missing a certain specific price bracket. And I think you can easily make the argument of like, why are you worrying so much about how these players cost? Just get the best players. Well, I do think, particularly at the start of the season, where we have unanswered questions that will be illuminated after the first couple of game weeks, you need that kind of flexibility to shift the players who aren't working out and easily bring the players that you want in. And I feel like that 8 to 9 million price bracket, the Son, Sancho, Havertz price bracket, is going to be really important in doing that. And I just need to figure out who am I really willing to sacrifice, whether it's in the defense or in the forward line, to make that work. So that's just like the one hard decision I have to make is figure out, do I drop Diaz? Do I drop Ings in order to figure out that dilemma?
Yeah. You know, the other player that I would like, and you talked about him a little bit on your, on when you talk about your team, is I would love to have Sadio Mane. And I just wish that he had come in a little bit cheaper. I think it's unfortunately came in at 12 million. I'm not quite sure why he came in so high, because it didn't feel like he had a especially great season last year. So I thought he was due for a little more of a regression in terms of price, just to make him a little more tempting. You know, if he was 11 million, 11.5, something like that, I would really try to find a way to fit him in. And I could maybe even justify him over Bruno. But same price as Bruno, with Bruno like 40% owned and probably captained by every Man United fan out there, except for, you know, the people who just can't resist captaining Salah, which is the category I find myself in.
I guess in defense of FPL towers, pricing Mane at the same level of Bruno is them sort of giving Mane a vote of confidence. Like, he can perform at that level, and we have seen it. But yeah, where it is annoying is we just love to see a little bit more diversity in people's team, and you drop a player like Mane's price down, and suddenly I think you see him in a lot more teams.
S has a question. He says, top three, this is a mystery man, Brendan, or woman, says, top three players you feel are underrated or overlooked, no criteria, position, et cetera, just gut feeling.
Yeah.
So, maybe I feel like our teams are pretty, I don't think I have a ton of overlooked players in my team outside of maybe Mason Greenwood.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think, well, I don't know. And I think that was my strategy just looking at game week one. I hope to be more cavalier as the season goes. And that's the FPL game, right? Being able to spot the differentials before anybody else does. And I think just giving yourself a stronger, more conservative foothold to start the season is, it's not a bad way to go. One player, though, that makes me stop and think, because I had this issue with him last preseason and ultimately didn't start with him game week one, and he came out of the gates flying, is Wilfred Zaha. And I feel like he's constantly talked about, but never really consistently acted on as a fantasy asset. And 7 million, and if you're looking at recent preseason performances under Patrick Vieira, Palace are embracing this progressive notion of we're going to press and we're going to be more attacking outfit, going against everything Hodgson had bred into them. So Zaha at 7 million, I think, is wildly overlooked. And another midfielder who is, I think, could be exceptional value at West Ham is Saeed Benrahma at 6 right. million. And I think he is seen a lot just, of minutes in the preseason.
It's like he's just coming on, right? Yeah, it feels like he's just suddenly like emerging as a key option.
And I feel like West Ham, if they were missing anything last season, is, I mean, Fornals played a nice, at sometimes he was a decent number 10, but he couldn't really produce any attacking returns to save his life. And he was getting so many starts over Benrahma, and maybe I'm a little confused, West Ham fans who are listening, if that's a 1-1 in the starting 11. But I think Benrahma getting more minutes probably means we talk a lot more about him as a fantasy asset.
Yeah, I mean, Benrahma was a real tryhard last season when he joined. It felt like he finally kind of settled down a little bit near the end of the season. I think he scored his only goal of the season until game 36 or 37. Yeah. I remember it was actually, I think it was on my birthday. What a way to celebrate my birthday, Brandon, with the Saeed Benrahma goal.
Yeah,
it cost me a Brighton clean sheet too. So I think that Benrahma is an interesting player for sure. I think overlooked, I mean, I'll throw the entire Chelsea team in there, the entire team, every single player. I feel like they have not been, for a team that won the Champions League last year, that have a lot of players at reasonable prices. It's like, we kind of look at Timo Werner, think that he's, you know, overrated or whatever, and we just are like, nah, like, you know. But it's like Mason Mount at 7.5 million, you know, maybe Havertz is not as appealing now at 8.5 because they're about to sign Lukaku, but he's certainly going to play and get minutes.
He might even get more opportunities with somebody to play off of.
Exactly. And so he's totally going to get, and it's not like he just scores. It's not like he's like a pure center forward. So you think he get, bonus points and assists and things like that. How about Rudiger at 5.5 million? I mean, one of the most consistent defenders the second half of last season at a very reasonable price. And they play Crystal Palace at home, a Crystal Palace team that's like has eight players in it, right? Everybody was let go. And it's just they have a tricky start to the season after that match, and they have the Super Cup on Wednesday. But maybe we'll learn some things at the Super Cup that give us some options. And I think my prediction on this pod, Brendan, is that over the next few days, you start to hear Chelsea sort of come up repeatedly in conversations. Like, maybe we should think about Chelsea. What about Chelsea players? And so I think a Mason Mount is a player that I would consider for my squad in game week one. I would love for him, like if he didn't start in that Super Cup, I would really strongly consider him possibly in the Greenwood or Rafinha slots. So
European champions in which every single player is priced under 10 million in the fantasy game, which is it is wild that we're not talking more about him. Speaking of, I think the baseline for a Lukaku price prediction would be 11 million. Would you give me an 11.5?
No, I would have gone lower. I would say 10.5. I mean, in that range, but if I were to go anywhere, I would go a little lower, like 10.5, 10.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. 10 million for Lukaku, and boy howdy, that is happening for me.
Yeah, I think that would be a game changer, Brandon, as the writers of the
book John Game Change.
Yeah, the book Game Change would say. All right, a couple more questions. Leo Howell, new patron Leo Howell, says, every season I struggle with the desire to have a viable bench. What are your thoughts on players you might start on the bench? He says Saka, Smith Rowe, Pukki Tony, Veltman, Soufal, or is it better to spend that money across your starting 11? Brendan, I have an answer to this, and then you can chime in with anything.
Go for it.
Add. Yeah. My feeling is if I'm doing a 3-4-3, I'm okay with not having a lot of bench depth. If I'm doing a 3-5-2, I want to have a starting forward. I'm not really sure exactly why that is, like what the rationale there is, but it just for me, there's something about, I don't really know. I mean, does that even make sense?
I'd said this earlier, it's so easy to have a starting midfielder on your bench at 4.5. It's less easy to have a starting forward at 4.5 on your bench.
Yeah, that's true. You can always have a Josh Brown. Right. Yeah. I overthought my answer there. I knew I had a reason for it. Exactly. Worst case scenario, Josh Brownhill is going to come on or Joel Veltman or something. And but if you just have, whatever, pick your 4.5 million.
Somebody I will never forget from a couple seasons ago where it just blew up catastrophically in everyone's faces.
Yeah, and then right now with Southampton, you have Obafemi, who may get a start early on in the season, but I think that's a total trap, right? He might start one match and then you are stuck with it with a hole, and he actually might move this season or go on loan. So I think he's kind of out. I generally wouldn't want to have anyone who is really good, on my bench. I mean, I just think it creates a real, it's honestly kind of stressful, and that just takes the fun out of fantasy. I mean, we have been talking about our MFFA make fantasy fun again mantra enough, on some of these early pods, Brandon, but if I'm debating whether to bench, Tony or Smith Rowe week in and week out all season, that's going to make me miserable. It's not going to be fun at all.
Yeah. And I do think just that with Leo's specific examples, notably Saka and Smith Rowe, I think they're just expensive enough and just good enough where you don't want them on your bench. Smith Rowe seems like kind of the ideal fifth midfielder to be on the bench, but he just costs a little bit too much where you wouldn't be able to afford it. And you talk about, Tony versus Pukki. Tony too good to bench. If you've got Tony, you play him. And then I think the most interesting example Leo gives is Veltman Soufal, where I think I like in the defense the ability to rotate based on fixtures because clean sheet odds are so fluid game week to game week. So I think if you're thinking of bench depth at all, I gravitate totally to fourth defender. That's where I want the most depth on my bench.
Yeah, I think Soufal is benchable, you know, and there, I mean, I don't think that he's like an unbenchable player. So I think it'd be okay to have a 5 million defender on your bench. I just think both of us, you and I both kind of play the same way, where we typically have players that are almost the cheapest you can get them on our bench. Yeah. And I think it's a working strategy. I really do. I mean, I think that it's, you just have to be comfortable with the risk. You know, that's just part of the game. And neither of us are overloaded with Man City players. If I had 3 Man City players, I would need a stronger bench because they just rotate so much. You know, that's arguably less true at the start of the season. That's something you have to worry about a little more when the Champions League starts. For the first 4 weeks, you could probably get away with it. But again, I mean, like if Mahrez just didn't start game week 2, like, you wouldn't raise my eyebrows. Like, that would be a totally normal thing that Pep would do. All right. So a couple more. And it's actually, speaking of the early wild card, Ram Frost says, the late big signings made you think about a game week 3 or 4 wild card, and with that approach, tackle the first 3 matches a little bit more aggressively.
Yeah. The idea of the early wild card for me is less a get out of jail free and just go crazy with your game week 1 draft.
Yeah.
The early wild card for me is, no matter how you play game weeks 1 through 4 or whatever, you're going to need it. Because whether you go conservative or maverick to start the season, something's going to go wrong.
Yep.
And if it doesn't go wrong, congratulations. You're probably in the running for winning FPL this season. So on the one hand, I think Ram Frosk is overthinking it by putting it this way. On the other hand, I'm in full encouragement of if you expect a wild card early, it does kind of make, and you've committed to that, it makes you freer to take a few risks to bring in Wilfred Zaha or another player who you just might like and want to have.
Yeah, I don't like to pre-bank transfers. I don't like to pre-bank wild cards. I sort of did this. It's kind of well known for long-time listeners of the pod that I did this a couple of seasons ago, where I had my best ever season 2 years ago. I finished 1,200 overall, and I went into the next season honestly cocky. Like, honestly feeling like I kind of cracked the code. And I had a really good start to the season 3 weeks in, and I was like 30,000 overall, you know, which is really where you want to be 3 weeks into the season. And I was like, you know what? I don't have the players I need to like really do it. I'm going to wild card from a position of strength.
Yeah.
And I blew up my team. I went from 30,000 to 300,000 the next week. I think I fell. I like totaled my rank again to like 600,000 the week after that. And I took a team that was doing well and I replaced them with other players, and just like, don't do that. You know, like, you can start to see the signs for sure. But if your team is going well, I'm not going to pre-bank a wild card. And this is how I feel about like just I'm just not mercenary enough. If I have a forward, I mean, let's say that, you know, that Tony just starts out really hot and then his fixtures get worse. I'm going to at least hold him for a little while to see if he can keep it going through those tough fixtures. Right. Like, you just don't drop a player when they're in form. I don't think that's typically a smart way to play. I mean, you just have to get it totally right, because what often happens is these players do well even in the hard fixtures. Right. Yeah. Because they're just in form. And the Timo Pukki a couple of years ago was a great example of this, where he was just scoring on everybody. He scored on Liverpool, he scored on Man City. I mean, he was just so hot at the start of the season that you could have really outthought it and been like, well, he's playing a good team. I'm going to take him out, you know?
You have to bring him back in, because then the following fixture, he's playing like fellow promotees or something. You're like, shoot, I need him back.
Exactly. And so I think that it's, And I guess this is something I was thinking about as you and I were talking about our teams a little bit. And there's this like this word that keeps getting thrown around, like the template team, right? Like, everyone seems to have the same team right now. And I think it's very possible that as you start to see these teams roll, and you may see a team that has literally every single player in it that has in your squad. But FPL, much like poker, and I think the FPL poker analogies get overused, but I think they're very applicable in a lot of cases. You know, we all start, everyone starts poker tournament with the same number of chips. Most people start off with a fairly similar strategy, right? And then it's all about the adjustments you make based on your table, you know, in this case, based on what you're seeing out there. And it's who adjusts the fastest, who assesses what's happening the quickest and fixes that. I guarantee, Brandon, we will not have a template team 3 weeks into the season. Things are going to start to shift very, very quickly. So don't worry about game week 1. just be ready for game week two and be ready to make moves. And so I really that's something that I have to really think about too, because with Fernandez, I'm just like, well, am I just having him because everyone owns him? And it's like, no, you have Bruno Fernandez because they're playing Leeds at home. You know, he scored a great free kick goal in a friendly this weekend. I mean, he's just a great player.
Even more than that goal, Josh, if you watch the highlights of the free kick Bruno scored, he freaked out afterward. He was psyched. And that's what you know, you want to see Josh and Brandon making fantasy fun again. I want to see FPL managers having fun. I also want to see Bruno having fun. Yeah. The more fun he has,
that's true,
the better asset he's going to be.
That's a good point. He is one of the, he's a joy player, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right. One last question here, then we'll take a break. Shiv says, what are your thoughts on going small at the back? Says, I'm planning on TAA plus Trent Alexander-Arnold plus 4.5s. But I'm getting nervous as I see more and more people do Dean, Cancelo, Shaw, and or Rabo.
I'm fine with small at the back, provided you've got a player like Trent who, you were mentioning the players who could just totally bury you right at the start of the season based on their potential plus their ownership.
Yep.
So I like small at the back because it frees you up to just capitalize on so many more attacking assets. So why not? I'm for it.
Yeah, I'm for it too. I think it's totally fine. I actually wouldn't be shocked if I ended up that way. Yeah, I mean, Shaw's ownership is really high, but no one's going to captain him.
Yeah,
right. And he's not really a goal scorer. So maybe he gets 12 points. That's like peak of his range, right? As he gets a clean sheet, an assist, and 3 bonus points. Mm-hmm. I don't really think, I mean, of course, anyone can drop a scenario where Shaw suddenly has a game of his life and scores 2 goals, has an assist, a clean sheet. Like, these are all things that anyone could do in theory.
Yeah.
But realistically,
even Matt Loughton.
Yeah, exactly. Even Matt Loughton. Yeah, he did it, right? 17 points or whatever he had. So, you know, I think that we can all play that game of thinking about what could go wrong. But I think in realistically, you can put players in a range, right? A range between, like in Luke Shaw's case, it's like between like 1 point and 12 points, right? But with a player like Bruno, it's between like 2 points and 19 points. Plus, he's going to get captained by a lot of people. So you have to at least like, let's say he's captained by 30% of the managers in the game or something like that, right? So you take that 12 points and then tack like 4 more onto it, right? Like, so, or 19 points, I guess. So let's tack 5 more onto it. So his range is between like 2 points and 24 points, right? So if you don't have him, you could be in a position where you are just massively down in your mini league kind of right off the bat, or an overall rank for that matter. And that's just too risky for me. Whereas with Shaw, I think there's a little bit less risk.
Yeah.
Totally. All right. On that note, let's take a quick break. We'll get back. We've got a lightning round, the first lightning round of the season. I'm looking forward to talking about it. Brandon, quick timeout to talk about Fantasy Football Hub. We talked at the start of the pod about the $1,000 prize they're giving the winner of the Always Cheating Super League this year, but you need to make sure that you're on that site as a free or paying member. It takes 2 seconds to subscribe. Very easy. Yeah. If you go to fantasyfootballhub.co.uk/always, you can get 25% off the tier of your choice. And of course, as I mentioned before, you become eligible for that $1,000 Super League prize. If you join that site, you can access the greatest minds managing today. Tons of super smart and interesting, I have to say. I say smart, but also I enjoy reading their articles. I think they're fun and interesting reads. And what's most important to me, I have to say, is accessing all of the OPT data in the most clean way I've ever seen it. Mm-hmm. So easy, so clear, so easy to get through all of that. And just so useful if you want to find out if a player is actually, you know, if you're looking for a player to buy in that 5.5 million range, let's say. I love looking through 4 weeks of OPT data just to see who's performing, who's actually getting shots in the box, compare a bunch of them. You can do it just quickly and easily, very, very well.
At one point, Josh, I thought the Hub had hired Outkast to put this data together because it was fresh and clean.
So fresh, so clean. They have game week planning tools, masterminded by the legendary Ben Krellen. You can chat with other managers, including private WhatsApp groups. I know that the Hub has a Slack as well. And they have an app, so you can access the stuff all very quickly and easily. And on your subway commute. Do people still take the subway to work, Brandon? I don't know. I took subway. I went into work for one day last week and it was a crowded subway. So I think it's Delta be damned. People are commuting right now, darn it. So for all those reasons and more, go to fantasyfootballhub.co.uk/always to sign up to any tier you want, including, if you wish, free.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, Brendan, we got a four-question lightning round this week. As everybody knows, 30 seconds or less to answer each question. We have four questions. This entire thing should take us 2 minutes to complete.
Yeah.
First question from FPL Tornado. He says, how late before the deadline does tinkering do more harm than good? He says 1 hour, 1 day, 30 seconds.
I read this question, Josh, from FPL Tornado, and I thought 30 seconds. 30 seconds is almost too much time. I'm more in the camp of 15 to 10 to 5 seconds before the deadline.
Wow, that late.
I have definitely, and that was probably for a transfer that I didn't mean to make, but didn't need to make.
Yeah.
So I think if I'm going to be serious about answering this question, I think at 24 hours before the deadline, you should have a team where you want it, where you'd be happy. A bus team, yeah. Essentially, yeah. Because what
like
you don't want to
the heat strategy, right? You need a team you can walk away from in 30 seconds, right? Without looking back.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, De Niro. But yeah, I think you don't want to find yourself in a position where you see that clock ticking down and you've got 5 minutes and you have a decision that you don't know which way to go. And that's when you'll make a mistake. More importantly, you'll make a transfer that you're not happy with. So yeah. I'd really recommend, it's fun to tinker right up to the deadline, but at least know you have a team 24 hours in advance that you'd be happy with.
Yeah, and especially before game week one, because the site kind of notoriously can have, you know, can be a little slow, can have some issues. And so I think that you should just be ready in case anything goes wrong. Now, nothing has actually gone wrong before game week one in several years. Like, it's been like almost eight years now. And I didn't remember this, Brandon, when the site kind of broke down. They had to give everybody a free wild card in game week two.
I do remember that. I remember being at a friend's bachelor party for the start of the season. You know, we'd rented a house somewhere. And we all looked at our teams that morning when it was going to kick off. And you had the site mistakenly said that you had played a chip, like a bench boost chip. Uh-huh. And I saw you like literally melting down in that moment. And so the site had to then say, oh, that was definitely our bad, our mistake. And
yeah, like it happened to everybody, right? Like everybody would use a chip.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the first year they had chips or something. Yeah, I think you're right. I think at least be okay with your team. Like, I'm okay with my team right now. If game week one kicks off and the squad I've got right now is the squad I've got, that's okay. But, you know, I think just have your core. Like, have the four or five players that need to be there. I mean, as we said before, there's going to be 30 players for 15 spots. You just have to be, you have to mentally get ready for that. And just, yeah, and just know that basically every player that scores this coming weekend is going to be a player that was in your team at one point in the preseason. That is just how it goes. And you have to just accept that and just move on, because I've had 70 different players in my squad since the game launched. You know, it's
how Josh, you ever go onto social media and, you know, you look up old girlfriends and you want to see how successful have they been? Are they working? Do they have good looking partners? How many children do they have?
Sure.
And there's part of you, you know, if you love them, you wish nothing but the best for them. If you have issues with them, you're kind of hoping to see that their life is in complete chaos when you find them on their social.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's the way game week one is going to be. There are going to be players where you're kind of like, wish you nothing but the best, but there are going to be others you're checking up on and you hope they fail.
Of course. I mean, the Schadenfreude, that's part of the game, right? I mean, if every fantasy manager is doing well, then I'm not doing uniquely well. You know, that's not going to work. All right. Second question is from Brian Robinson. He says, Man City, Man United, and Villa all feel very unsettled. Yeah. I'd say a little less on Villa. Mm-hmm. He says, thoughts on best bets from those three squads given the latest information and friendlies?
Yeah, I'm with you, Josh. I think Aston Villa is probably the most settled of these, just because they've had their players all report to training, and you've got, as we underlined, Danny Ings is already fit and scoring
match.
Yep. in that system. So Villa, I think, like, we've already covered that. I'm very high on them going into game week one.
Yeah.
Manchester United, Bruno, we've discussed that. The main concern is that they don't have those important key players like Sancho reporting to training yet, and Marcus Rashford is undergoing surgery. So I think you touched upon Luke Shaw in your current game week one draft. I think Manchester United should have a decent enough defense going into game week one, and then there's Bruno. And I think Greenwood is a good differential. Manchester City, why don't you take that one, Josh, because I'm not sure what I have to say there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's an argument for Maris. Maris is not a player that I love to have in fantasy because he only starts about 60% of Man City's matches. Even early on the season with all the injuries, it wouldn't shock me if he didn't start some of these early matches, especially if he takes too many shots, which I know that Pep sometimes hates. We'll see how quickly they integrate a lot of these players into the squad, too. If I were to go with anybody who is safe, I think that Gundogan would be the safest pick. I really think there's a good chance he starts all four of the opening matches. Pep loves him. Mm-hmm. He's just a great player. He kind of fits in anywhere. I mean, you hope that you get advanced Gundogan and not right. deep line Gundogan, but I think you would get that early this season. There's a question about how he and Grealish are going to play. I mean, in some ways, they're kind of in the same spot. And once Grealish starts getting regular minutes, it could push Gundogan back. So I actually think Grealish is not a terrible shout. Early on, he's only 0.5 million more. His ownership is way too high. It's like 30% at this point. I don't love him for game week one. But I'm feeling a little. So the defense, I think, is fine. I think they're kind of expensive. And so I ultimately am going with, I like Shaw a little more than someone like Diaz, because I just think that you're getting a reasonable amount of attacking.
Yeah.
Impetus and then a reasonable clean sheet threat. I actually think that Man United's defense in general is slightly overrated. I had Shaw the end of last season. It was not a lot of fun. And so it's kind of a leap of faith for me, just because I like the vibes coming out of Man United going into the season. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that they could be off to a kind of a hot start. But I don't see Shaw as a player I'm going to have all season. Okay. Maybe just early on when the fixtures are good. All right, two more questions. James P says, do we need to start looking at those upper mid-tier teams for the bulk of our squad, since the top four seems so likely to rotate quite a bit this year? So this kind of ties into that question from a second ago. The upper mid-tier, well, I guess, would be something like Everton, Spurs, Arsenal, Leeds, right?
I mean, we picked West Ham to finish lower down the table in our team previews.
Yeah.
But I think just still could be considered. I mean, with the amount of people who are looking at Mikel Antonio, maybe fits this mold, and Leicester to a degree. But It does relate to Brian's question about teams being unsettled. I look at Spurs as, I mean, with the Kane imbroglio, it's bad. Leicester, you know, while they're now, they have a trophy in hand to start the season, I think it's the defensive injuries that are throwing me there. And Iheanacho being the clear fantasy asset, but there is uncertainty surrounding him. They're just like, this is the theme. There are question marks around all of these teams. Arsenal, I think Arsenal maybe stands out because they have cheap, viable assets from Ben White in the defense to Emile Smith Rowe and Saka in the midfield. So even if you don't know what we're wholly going to get from Arsenal, they are at least affordable enough to take a punt. And Everton, I think, is like a huge caution sign there. Like Lucas Dean came up earlier in the show. I'm not on board with that. I think Everton.
Yeah.
I mean, Everton could definitely prove me wrong here.
They got waxed away to Man United. And I mean, talk about, they're probably one of the most unsettled teams out there.
Yeah.
Like half their midfield is on the way out or gone or, you know, Richarlison won't be back until I don't even know, like September, I guess. A lot to be decided there.
So this is why we've spent so much time, Josh, talking about Leeds and Aston Villa, because there is a nice level of certainty there. There are proven historical FPL points that we can draw on there too.
I mean, if anything, if we redid that prediction on the table, and now that Ings is there, we thought that Watkins would be out, but with Ings there, I think it really, it's just exciting. It really makes them an interesting team going into the season. Yeah. One of the most interesting teams.
Well, did you see the message that one of the owners of Villa released after Grealish moved to City? And it was a 5-minute video.
Did see that.
Awesome. And he outlined every point of like, here's why we wanted to keep Grealish. Here is what the negotiation was like. And this is, it all went according to plan. Here's why. Yep. And this is the result that we needed. We got the money we needed to fill in that hole left by Grealish, and now they're not as reliant on one player. Now they have brought in at least three players, and it's just like I was kind of blown away by how much forethought had gone into Villa's preparation for this season.
It was crazy. I mean, if you were a Villa supporter, I mean, I'm not one, but I have to imagine you walked out of that feeling pretty confident about the future of that club, because that's exactly what you want. I mean, Stan Kroenke has never done that, right?
You at least feel respected as a supporter of the club.
Yeah. All right, final questions from Aharo. He says, strikers feel sketchy at the moment with Watkins on the wing, Nacho not starting, Tony maybe injured. I know you just did a forwards episode, but who can we even trust to start game week one? I mean, this to me, Brandon, it's the last question, but it's a big one.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it ends with me having Callum Wilson. I wonder
I did not see that coming, Josh. That's incredible. I did not see that coming. I think as evidenced by our forward episode last week, the upside here is you're worried about certain forwards starting. Well, if you're worried about Tony starting, guess what? There are like 10 other forwards in his price range that you can pick from. So if you're trying to swerve anxiety, then pick somebody else. But I think like particularly in this bracket of 6.5 to 8 million, I'm like certain that so many of these guys are going to start. I mean, looking at my front line of Ings, Bamford, and Tony, I'm like, I'm not even worrying. I'm not even sweating the team sheets with those three guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair. I mean, Bamford scored again yesterday too. I mean, he's a lock, and maybe Bamford is probably, I mean, I guess it's just because they're away to Man United to start the season. And I do have Rafinha, and it makes me feel like I'm overloaded with Leeds for a trick opening match. I mean, you know, it's like you want to plan a little bit long term, but you also do want to make the most of that, the game that's right in front of you. So I would love to have 0.5 million in my bank. It's like I want to find a way to do it, because I could see so many ways that would be appealing. Like, you know, turn Greenwood into Grealish in game week two or something like that. You know, it's a lot of things you can do with that extra 0.5 or turn Antonio into Bamford for that matter for game week two. So lots to think about there. I think you've named a bunch of them. I think Callum Wilson is a reliable starter, good opening fixture. Interestingly enough, I mean, they played West Ham in the opening match last season. It was Callum Wilson's first match at the club, and he got a goal and an assist. This time they're at home. So you expect him to double that, right? Two goals and two assists
yeah.
for Wilson to start the season.
Yeah, it's written.
Yeah. There's a couple things we've barely even talked about. I mean, you know, Shea Adams, I suppose now it's now his role at Southampton, and maybe that lifts him up a little bit. I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean, it's not like he doesn't have experience playing without Ings. I mean, Ings
insert you're the man now, dog meme.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe he's another player to consider if you just want to be a little different. Chris Wood, I think, is an interesting category because he just got back to the club this week, maybe like this weekend. He was playing for New Zealand in the Olympics. And so he was a late arriver, but of course, this, I was like on a Burnley website reading about him yesterday.
It's oh, dear.
Chris Wood obsessed I am. But there's every expectation that he is going to start game week one at home to Brighton. So, I mean, I have a Brighton defender in my team, but I, you know, I think if anyone's going to score for Burnley, it's him. So
yeah,
he's at least a player you could consider.
Yeah, lots of options there. I wouldn't worry about it too much. It is the greatest defeat of all time in FPL when you've got a game week one player who doesn't start.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't want to blow this question off, but I think.
I just think we should end it like we've ended all recent podcasts, Brendan, by talking about Chris Wood.
Yeah,
and just leave it there. So thank you to everyone for listening. Two quick programming notes. This Tuesday, we're doing a Zoom conversation for all Patreon supporters at any pledge level. Any pledge level, you can come and join us. We'll share a link on our Patreon page. We'll also share it on the Slack. That'll be at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to do that together in person. That'll be 10:30 London time. So yeah, a little bit late, but not too late. The kids will be asleep by then, I assume. So yeah, we hope you can join us for that. And we'll do a regular Patreon podcast as well. Maybe a Josh Landon solo pod this week, but we'll be doing one of those right before the game week kicks off on Thursday, or we'll do it on Thursday before the game kicks off on Friday. So if you want to support the pod, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Brendan, do you want to thank our producers? We got a lot of them this week, a lot of new producers.
I love this part of the show, Josh. Big thanks to producers Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, DeBig Gafford, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Dave Wagner-Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forberg Skoging, Paul Herzog, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch, Carrie Swanson, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Blue Nose Stew, Mikey Uwong, congrats on the new arrival, Mikey, Bruce Kerr, Sam Schauer, Rich Evans, Future Media Group, FPL, Ben Sweeney, George Kinney, Shiv Majoria, Ram Frosk, AJ, Fly You Fools, Jeremy Spiker, Larazos, You Know Us, Jesse Halstead, Matthew Becker, Caleb Robbie, Todd Byerly, Alper Paxoy, Martin Obseth, Lee Hickman, Valger Paulson Kruger. Valger Paulson Kruger, is that one name?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's our newest producer, Brendan. And I do like the way that you say Lazarus Yanos' name a little different every time on the podcast. That's a special tribute to him, a little tweak each time. If you want to rate and review and subscribe to the podcast, we'd really appreciate it, especially early on in the season when people are looking for fantasy content, possibly for the first time. It really helps people to find our podcast. So if you could do a quick rate review on Apple or give us a thumbs up on Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, wherever you listen to your podcast, that really helps people to find the pod. And that would be something we very much appreciate. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, all of those places. Go to alwayscheating.com. And if you want to send us an email, have a note, comment, whatever, just email us hailcheaters@gmail.com. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week, Brandon. We'll be talking about game week two.
Yes. I
can't believe it. That's crazy. Game week one will be in the books. Amazing. Good luck, everyone, this weekend.
Poku forever.